Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Let's go into the scripture. This evening, I don't want to rush. I just want to take time and just share these things. They will be of help to us. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I'll take it from verse 17. Romans chapter 16 from verse 17. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And avoid them. Yes. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fierce speeches deceive the heart of the simple. Amen. No. Take it back. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That means that their own belly there is talks about their desires. You know, their cravings. Their cravings, their desire. He said, and by good words and fierce speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. So one of the instruments, one of the means by which Satan gets, of course, these people, their instrument, it's not Satan that is carrying out this deception, but they are actually tools. They are is working through these people. Because they have been able to deceive the hearts of simple, people that are not yet knowledgeable, by good words, fierce speeches. Amen. What does it mean by good words? That, I wrote something here. Let me read it out to you. I said good words talks about eloquent and attractive speech. Eloquent and attractive speech involving pleasing rhetorical devices. I will explain. What is rhetoric? Rhetoric means the art of using language to convince people. Have you listened to an orator before? Hello? Do you know who they call? Do you know people they call orators? When you say somebody has an oratory power? Eh? Meaning that person can keep you, the person will pull your mind and hold your mind. Such people have power to, there are people I can't listen to. They don't have the power, once I tune off, you don't have such power. You don't have, it's a kind of charisma. That when the person opens their mouth and they start talking, you cannot but just listen. Amen. So there are people like that. It's a good word. Interesting speech is something that, let me see if I have any, okay, I said the whole heart of using language so as to persuade others. And you see, in the times we are living in, these are things we have to watch out for. Good words. We have very sensational speakings. Amen. Very sensational, impressive, you know, speaking that have capacity to hold you and keep your soul. Hold your soul. I don't think Satan is a dullard. Hallelujah. I don't think Satan is a dullard. If Satan were to open his mouth and teach, I'm sure that many of us would like to. This is a fine teacher. Amen. He's a fine teacher. He's not crude. Hallelujah. And the truth is that the days we are living in, is there are times, of course, you know this thing. You know, there are people you listen to that if you are really, you just say, this person is just anywhere called Duni. Hallelujah. It's just good. So it, but sometimes we feel it's just simple, but actually it's a technology of deception. Many people have been deceived by good words, by eloquence. Look at what Paul said in the is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, give us verse 1. Let's take it from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with what? Excellency of what? Of speech. Or of wisdom. No, there are two different things. There are difference between excellency of speech and excellency of wisdom. We'll talk about, that's one of the, we'll talk about, let's talk about speech. There's a difference between, excellency of speech is not, it's not even talking about the content. But it's talking about the packaging, the oratoriness of that speech. Good words, well arranged, everything put together. You know those people that know how to put rhymes? You know there's some people, you know those things. You just, you're like, wow, I like this. It is in the name of I like this that a lot of people have found themselves in deception. Hallelujah. I don't want to be a fine preacher. I'm following after Apostle Paul. It's not about, it's not, it's, I didn't come with excellency of speech. It's not about, I didn't come to show that I know how to talk. I didn't come to Moses was Bible said Moses was mighty in word. And is it indeed or something like that? It was, but by the time God finished dealing with Moses, I don't know how Moses became a stammerer. Moses became a stammerer. This was the same person that was mighty. He was a speaker. He was. But when God finished, when God dealt with Moses, Moses said, "I need somebody to help me to communicate to these people." Hallelujah. So it's not about the finest, it's not about the finest, it's not about knowing how to, you know, somebody said of Smith Wigglesworth, they said they read one letter, Smith Wigglesworth, and in that one single letter, he wrote the Holy Ghost in about nine different spellings of the Holy Ghost. In one letter, as in like nine different spellings. Maybe this one, he will not put H, this one, he will not put, as in, it was his wife that taught, it was a plumber. It was his wife that taught him out. Do you get? But you know that man. Hallelujah. That's what we are talking about. You know, have you ever listened to a man that you know this person cannot speak English? But there is an aura that keeps you. It's not about what is coming out. It's not about him. But there is a power of God that's what we are talking about. It's not about people that go to finishing school and all those things, learn how to package, learn how to speak. I like to speak good English. Even my wife, I correct her. When she come back from work, if I go to Adaba, I would give them teaching. Many of them don't know how, they don't know anything. No, she's there. I used to tell her now. Even when she can, I correct them. Why did this person do this like this? What? When I hear a new word, I take my dictionary. I want to know what does it mean. But it's not. That's just me. It has nothing to do with. So I may not. My English may even be wrong. But I'm not. It's not that one only gives space. People are deceived just by fine speech. I don't need to go to a finishing school. Do you understand what I'm saying? I may not speak well. But there should be a power that is evolving for me that you cannot even, you can't, you say, no, I can't. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we have to watch out for more of these things. We will see more of them coming. People that are anointed by Satan to speak. Remember the Antichrist? He was given what? A great what? Mouth. Don't forget I told you. There's even between mouth. Jesus said, I'll give you what? A mouth and what? A wisdom. There's even between a mouth and a wisdom. Do you understand? So, hello, are we together? Let me quickly balance it. I'm not saying that God cannot walk through eloquence. Hello? God can, Because the truth is that there are some people you have to first have eloquence. They won't even listen to you. There are people like that. If you were supposed to say, I ate yesterday, and you say, I eat rice yesterday. Oh, you've lost. There are souls like that. So God knows that there's no way he can get to these people. So he can package an eloquent man that can meet their need. Hallelujah. But the strength of it is not in the eloquence. Amen. I don't have time. My time is already going. I have dwelt too much on this. I have a long way to go. Let's leave that place. So now, take note. I talked about, he said, two good words and what? Fierce species. This one is more subtle than good words. Fierce species is the same Greek word that is used to that describe blessing. It's a form of flatter. Amen. It's when you make people to have a false perception of their standing. When you make people have a false perception of who they are. When the originality of the person, you know, when you praise people, sir, you're a wonderful person. You are just good. Do you understand what flattery is? When you praises that are not sincere, you make people feel nice and cool when they are not. Remember 1 John chapter 1. Give us 1 John chapter 1, where it says that, look at it as 1 John 1. Help me, I won't have time to open the scripture. Where we're saying, look at this. If we say that we have not what? Sinned. No, there's another, maybe verse 8, there's a place before said something. Look, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we do what? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not what? When you begin to talk to people and you know people say things like you, they say you are making people conscious of sin. That is fierce speech. When you don't allow people to know their state, you are making them feel cool and nice. When they are actually wicked and terrible. When Elisha that was telling Azai what Azai was going to do? He said, am I a dog? I've forgotten the way he put it. When Elijah was telling him, the things he told him, maybe you will rip pregnant women open. He said, is it me that wants to do that? I find that. But eventually, it happened. So when we have messages that does not, is you just want to say good about the people. You just want them to be excited and be happy. Hallelujah. We are not, he said, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Amen. It's a flatter, and it's a means of deception. People must do, is it Micah that said, I'm full of power to show Israel their sin. It's not about, I'm not here to make people feel good and feel nice. If you need to cry and weep, yes, it is good. So if we say we have no sin, we are in deception. We're in deception. It's just a fierce speech. It's a flatter. It's a praise that is not, you're just letting the people have it. Let them just feel fine. I'm good. We are good. We are okay. Everything is all right. No! People are falling to deception on this basis. And that is more. See, if the church really, and that is why the church is the way it is. That's why the church is the way, because when we go to church, most times we try to make us just feel nice. We don't want us to be angry so that we can continue to, do what is right. You know, when people have brought seed and you preach a message of repentance, that seed is going back home. People are repenting. They can't come and drop off free. They will just, that repentance will just, they will just go home. Do you get? People need to be excited. You know, messages that excite you. Yes, sir. You know, why is it that, you know, me, sir, I like to give offering after a powerful anointing. That's the best time you can. If you are praying, have you ever been praying before? And then while you were praying, you know, some good things just come to your mind. You just feel like taking all of your salary and give it to church. After the prayer session, how does it feel like? Has it happened to you before? After the prayer session, do you still feel like go and drop that thing? It's because where you were in a place. You were in the presence of God. You were under that unction. So if ministers truly want to take offering, do it before you start preaching. That's when you really know people. But if I come and preach a powerful message, the power of God is heavy. And your place is tired. And I say, come and give up. People will come out. But they'll go back home and start regretting by the time that anointing has went down. That's, did I have to give that much? Hallelujah. So true fair speeches, they deceive the heart of the simple. Don't let anybody flatter you. Don't let anybody, is not, that's why when they were preparing those virgins, they had sweet odors, but there was also myrrh. There was also what? Myrrh. It's not just about God. Sometimes there must be rebuke. Sometimes there must be child chiding. Sometimes there must just be correction. There must just be strong words. Hallelujah. Let's quickly move forward. I hope we are taking note of this thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at another. And you see that most of these things are actually around utterances. They are actually around words. Ephesians chapter 5. Give us verse 6. Let no man deceive you with what? Vain words. For because of these things, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. What is in verse 4? Let's look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I don't know So how do we come about bringing comedians to church now, to come and do service? And they even make jest of your tongues. Hallelujah. Hey. Foolish talking, not jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Yes? For this you know. Look at this. For this you what? You know. This is already established. You know. Do you get it? He said, for this you what? You know. Don't forget, the essence of deception is to pull you away from a standing position and cause you to navigate another course. For this you know, that no unmonger, nor unclean person, take note the way I pronounce it. I didn't say war, it's all. All monger. So add that one to your own. No unclean person. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to be light. No covetous man, who is an idolater, at what? Any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, and what? What's the next thing? Let no man deceive you with what? Vain words. Some people will just come and say something they don't know, they have no basis about. What are vain words? Vain words are like fables. Have you heard, Japan and Yoribu? You know those stories? Where did those stories come from? They are just fables. It's not... Okay, Fabu. Hallelujah. It's talking about mythology. Myth. Things that people have believed, people believe that does not have any, you can't trace it, you can't, like what Daddy was talking about, was it on Sunday, evolution, that was a true evolution, that men came from apes. Hallelujah. Do you know some people have left God because that thing became a stronghold? You know, this thing looks like, does he really, how can, let's go to 2 Peter. Look at what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. Amen. I hope we have been blessed. I'm just enjoying myself. Verse 16, 2 Peter 1, 16. For we have not followed cunningly what? Devised what? Fables. People, somebody can sit down and just conjure something. And don't take note. Is that cunningly devised? Meaning that it's not stupid. It's not a stupid thing. It's something that can still appeal to your senses. It said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of what? Of his majesty. We saw it. We didn't just sit down in our rooms and just came up with something and then pushed it to you. Hallelujah. But he said, beyond this, we even have a more sure word of prophecy. Yes? For, okay, verse 18. 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Meaning that as beautiful as that vision and revelation is, there is even something that is more sure. And this is the word of prophecy. It is where you do well that you take it as unto a light that shines in the dark place. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Yes? He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. This is where I'm going. 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but only men of God spake, moved by what? The Holy Ghost. Anything you are pushing forth that is not originating from inspiration of the Holy Ghost is vain. Did you hear what I said? He said the prophecies came not because those men felt like saying those things. They were moved. That word means they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to say those things. Hello? One of the crises we have these days is that, I still have something close to that. Let me not say it here. I'll talk about that in the next one I want to talk about. So what I'm saying in essence is that, he said, don't let anybody deceive you with vain words, something that they just thought of, something that doesn't have, is not of truth. It doesn't have a basis. It came just by what those men wanted and they just pushed you. Why? Because they want to achieve something. They cannot take your position and so they want to pull you out of that position. And so they push vanity to you. They push vain words to you. And the truth is that many people have left their standing because of things like that. We have many of those things around. People, now when I said you are inspired by the Holy Ghost, I'm not saying that, you know, sometimes inspiration is not always spontaneous. Some of the things I'm saying now, it's not as if they are spontaneous now. Some of them, while I was studying, I got them, you know, through inspiration. So when I come and I'm teaching those things, I'm not teaching by, it's not like spontaneously, but I was inspired. Some of the things we have in the scripture, somebody had a vision. It was not as he was having the vision that I was writing. It came out of the vision, then carried his paper and pen and wrote it down. It is still inspired. Hallelujah. And that's why if you have a call to ministry, and particularly to preaching and teaching, in fact, I will advise, that's why James was saying, let not many of you be masters. It sounds good to teach, But you have a lot of responsibility on you. Hallelujah. Because if you push something that is not of God to people, God is going to judge you. He's going to ask you questions. Amen. God is going to ask you questions. And the truth is that there are a lot of things. People just feel, you just feel like, well, I think I also can preach, I also can teach, and then you open your Bible, and then you start. It doesn't have to be. These things, they are by the help of the Spirit. They are by the help of the Spirit. Amen. So true vain words, don't let anybody deceive you. We have to learn to hold on to our positions. Hallelujah. Then I have another one here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 verse 4. All of them are around utterance. All of them are around utterance. Colossians 2 4. Okay, let's read it from verse 1. Let's just have a feel of what he was saying. Colossians 2 from verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh yet, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I'll come back to this scripture next week when we are talking about those defenses. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, yes? In whom I hid all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with what? Enticing words. You know, I was telling you the other time that there's even between mouth and wisdom. Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech of what? Of wisdom. Enticing words here. Let me see. I think I wrote something here. Okay. Look at what I said. I said, enticing words is talking about speech resulting from the use of well-constructed probable arguments. The thing about enticing words is that they are arguments. Hello? You know what an argument is? Argument is not what we call, it's not arguing. It's not that we are, this is what it is, this is. No, it's talking about, we say what? Logic. It's talking about well-constructed argument, reasonings. This one is not just eloquence. This talks about this is where craft really is. Have you listened to anybody before and they push arguments to you and you actually almost agreed that I think I'm, my tongue is not the Holy Ghost. Have you? I'm just using that example. Enticing words, persuasive words, words that are based and founded in arguments, in reasonings. Reasonings. Intelligent reasonings. Amen. He said, let any man should beguile you with enticing words. What did he say before? What's in verse 3? What's in verse 3? He said, in Christ I hid what? All the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. So we are talking about wisdom. We are talking about knowledge here. We are talking about intelligence. And we're going to see more of that happening. We're going to see people that are actually, that are sound in wisdom, that when they push forth their argument, they can floor anybody. They can floor you if you are not careful. Why? Because they are going to push those things and they will put forth reasons. Intelligent arguments, persuasive words, words that have capacity to convince. Amen. See, it may be difficult for us to relate with these things because more of these things, we are going to see more of them. That's when he said, first Christ will come. When he said, first Christ will come, you know, it will be, and first prophet will come, at the end, we'll see more of the manifestations of these things. Hello? Enticing words. Amen.
Words that are based on philosophies, human wisdom. Give us verse 8 of it. Verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. Through what? Philosophy and what? Vain deceit. Philosophy talk there is talks about human wisdom or love of wisdom. They are rooted in humanism. They are rooted in human Do you know one of the crises we're having in church now is intellectualism? Intellectualism. People are pushing forth intellectualism that are devoid of spirit. Hello? And that's why you see big churches, you see crowded places, and the people are, you wonder that these people Christians, nah, what's happening? Are these people really Christians? They are not dull, they are intellectual, but there is something that is not right. It's not spirit-based. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now, let's move forward. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. I want to talk about another one now. This one, Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets. They will show what? Great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they would do what? They would do what? Deceive the very elect. How are they going to try to do that? Through what? Great signs and what? Wonders. Give us Revelation 13, 11 to 14. Revelation 13, 11 to 14. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, yes? And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and cursed the earth, and them which dwelt therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, yes? And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And did what? Deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. By what? By the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which have the wound by sword and deliver. One of the instruments, one of the means by which Satan deceives is through miracles, through signs, through wonders. I don't know that depth that Jesus said that even if it were possible, the elect would be deceived by signs, through wonders. Hello? We are still going to see signs though. We are still going to see wonders. Now you know that one of the things that really, if you want to have a very big church, you need the power gift. You can't have a small church with power gift. Pastor DJ, is it true? You can't have a small church with, when you have power, those things, they pull souls. They are configured like that. They are configured to pull souls. They draw. Is their configuration? It's not anything. That's just the design. And so one of the things we are going to, so when Satan is going to take deception to a high level, he's going to begin to anoint people who can do great signs, wonders, miracles. That even you that you said you know when how did God get the attention of Moses? Yes, sir. Burning bush. He said, let me now turn aside. That was it. That was how God said, let me just turn aside and see this great sight. Amen. Don't turn aside to the wrong thing. This one was a good one. But he turned aside because God was calling what? His attention. God was calling his attention. And I still have time. But let me... So we have to wash out. And that is why, see, we need to begin to pray. Our generation must know that there is true power in God. We are more open to deception when we have not seen that there is the real is with God. God will not just open you. Listen, God won't open you to deception. He won't open you to signs and wonders that can trip you, except you have seen the originality of it. You know that this there is a truth of it in God. See, many times we used to, you know, I will talk about lust. Actually, one of the last one I have here, and that is even the grand, is lust. But let me quickly say this. You know that what Eve said about that tree, he said, and the Bible said, and when she saw that the tree was what? Good for food and what? Pleasant to the sight. You think that was a problem. But before then, the Bible talked about God made to grow. Give us Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 9. Genesis 2, 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is what? Pleasant to the sight and what? Hello, are we together? The Lord made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Then look at chapter 3. Verse 6. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was what? And that was what? So, being good for food and pleasant to the eyes is not peculiar to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The trees that God planted in the garden were actually good for food and pleasant to the sight. So, sometimes we think that it is... No! Good is not... How do I put it? God had already made provision for that. Good and pleasant. The problem was seeing good and pleasantness in what God has said no to. Hello? In fact, that is actually what is lost. I just defined to you simply what is left. I have just less than 15 minutes. Let me quickly talk about this. Actually, when we are talking about the issue of deception, one of the, apart from all the things we have said, fierce speeches, enticing words, miracles, and all of those things, when we look at the pattern of deception that happened to Eve, one of the very principal things that we saw there is the issue of lust. It's the issue of lust. I don't have time. I would have loved to. Now, if you go to 1 John chapter 2. Okay, give us 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Wherever I can stop, I will stop there. 1 John chapter 2. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of what? The world. Then, later enough, let me quickly look for this. That same chapter 2, it will now say something. I write this to you because of them. Okay, verse 26. It said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that do what? That do what? Seduce you. So when Satan is pushing lust, one of the major purpose for lust is seduction. It has been one of the major tools that Satan uses. The word seduce here also means to deceive. That's actually, it's I think it's plan now or something. So he said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, them that are trying to allure you, them that are trying to deceive you. But when he began to talk about it, he began to talk about the issue of lust. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the what? The pride of life. He said, these things are not of the Father. The question I want to ask is this. And so that was one of the major things. Listen, if you can fight lust, you can fight deception. If you can wage a war against lust, you can wage a war against deception, because it has always been one of the major tools by which Satan deceives. What is lust? Lust simply means the cravings, the longing, a desire, especially for that which God has prohibited. When God is saying no, when God says this thing is evil, when you begin to have a longing and craving for that same thing, you are in lust. The question is this. How did Eve come about? When God created them, did God put lust in them? The answer is no. They didn't have lust. They didn't have lust. In fact, as a matter of fact, the knowledge of the tree, the knowledge, how do I want to put it? They didn't even know anything about that tree. Did you hear what I said? Hello? Because you can't lust when you don't know. Amen. How many of you have decided to go to America? Eh? Why? Because you have they painted good something to you. So you say, eh? But is there any... Do you know there are some meals? You don't even know they are. You don't have a desire for them. The reason is because you don't know it exists. But the day somebody come and tell you, know there is one food, and start describing, and then the person can paint it in such a way that your imagination can take it with your imagination, then you rather, hey, how can I get? So when God put them in the tree, when the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there, the truth is this, that the knowledge, information concerning that tree was not even given to them. Hello? They didn't know about it. She was innocent. Hallelujah. She didn't know. And that's why beginning of... But there are a lot of information that were not... But God just... They just gave us what we knew, and then by the help of the Spirit, we're expected to know. The Bible says that the serpent came, and you think that was the beginning of the conversation? You think that was all about the conversation? The serpent came and said, "As God told you, you should not eat of the tree." And the woman said, "Yes, God said we should not." And then that was. It began that way, but many other things came in. What Satan did was that they began to furnish her with information about that thing that was standing. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That was how that's why when you begin to talk about lust, there is a dimension of learning and doctrine that is attached to lust. That's why I told you at first that it begins, you have to be able to bring me to knowledge, then you whet my appetite. So when Satan came, you know, they said something, have you heard, when you say something is intriguing, when I throw something to you, the thing capture you, you want to get more. There was a pool. I don't want to go into some things. Maybe next week we can talk about that. I'm seeing how I can close within the limited time that I have. No, that I want to finish next week. I want to finish next week. I don't want to come back again. Hallelujah. All right, so let me see how to put it. So the woman began to, take us to 2 Corinthians 11. That place where we read, I said I was going to come back there. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 2. For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. Look at this word, espoused. I want to just, it needs to be truth. Then it has, another way you can say that, I have wooed you to one man. Meaning, I have stirred affection inside of you for one person. You know, when a man is wooing, when you say you are wooing somebody, you are stirring emotions so that the person can love you and have affection for you. Paul said, I have opened up your well of love for one person so that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Then verse 3. He now said, but I'm afraid, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled him through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. KJV does not capture that thing well. Can we have another version there? But now I am fearful, lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your mind may be corrupted and seduced from all hearted and sincere and pure devotion to what? To Christ. Do you have Weymouth translation? You don't have Weymouth. There's a way Weymouth added one word. He added fidelity. I like that word, fidelity. Let me try and explain something. You know, I told you that, you know, that verse 2. Okay, message. Okay, let's see the message. He said, and now I'm afraid that exactly as the sex seduced Eve with a smooth patter, you have been lured away from the simple purity of your love. The simple purity of your love for Christ. Let me chant. You know, verse 2 said that I've espoused you. I want to say that I have stirred affection for you towards what? For one man. So what happened? As in that garden, there was a loyalty, there was a devotion, there was a commitment to God. Their eyes were single. There was an innocence, there was a purity of thought. God has given them instruction, and in fact, and everything was in order. But when Satan came, he began to paint another love. He began to show Eve there is a goodness in that tree. Hello? I'm trying to show us how the issue of lust came. The serpent began to introduce another man. Hello? He began to introduce another man to the woman. What was the other man? Is that tree. So the serpent began to paint that tree and began to show the woman, open the woman's eyes to see. Hello? When they bring somebody from the village, is that Jeka Laujue? Do you get it? Let's what? Let's see that there is another life that you don't know in the village. So the serpent began to civilize the woman. Do you get the thing? Began to make the woman sophisticated because she was innocent. So opened the woman's eyes, showed her the goodness of that tree, showed her the pleasantness of that tree, and even made her to see. She said, when the woman saw that the tree to be desired, meaning a tree to set your love upon, a tree to love, to have, you know, when God was saying, because you have set your love upon me, a tree to be desired to make one wife. I mean wife. That means that all the wife, that was what Satan was what? Trying to make Adam. God had told them, don't eat of this fruit. God kept quiet. But the serpent now came, and you see the way the thing happened, it was a technical attack. He first punctured the integrity of God.
told them, you won't die. Hello? Sorry, I'm actually lumping a lot of things together for you. Yeah, just take it. You know, and after a while, the woman began to what? Accommodate those thoughts. Information is not lost. The fact that I know that if I do a go-go, I will make money. If I know that I do a show, you know, there are confirmed. Some people can confirm, as in they will show, you know, that this thing can't fail. So I know, but that's not lost. After a while, the woman began to accommodate those thoughts. Don't forget, God has said you can't eat of that tree. But by much painting and doctrine and teaching and learning, it was not a one-day thing. It was not one day. You can't download the all of those kind of information. No, it was not one day thing. I believe it was. Because the Bible says, when the woman saw, meaning it was a journey till the woman came to, that word saw was not sight. That word is persuasion. Hello? When the woman became what? Persuaded, then she believed. Listen. All this one we are doing is because you have not had faith. The day you have faith that you can walk through this wall, you will walk through it. If anybody can brainwash you to walk through it, you will walk through it and hit your head on the wall. You don't? Yes, if anybody can brainwash you and tell you this wall, you walk through it. You just say, you just walk and then hit your head on the wall and come back. But the day faith arises in your heart, whether by anything, and you just describe that, I can walk through this wall. You walk through it, you find yourself on the other side. Of course, that may be for a purpose. Amen. Let me tell you something. God has provision for the... I don't have time again. Thank you, Lord. We'll continue from there next week. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. That hallelujah looks as if you are not happy. Share you cuckoo follow Pastor Oki home. I want to hear the balance. Amen. I don't think I need to do a summary. But for us to understand that the most serious warfare is deception. It's not Ogun Idile. Ogun Idile is small. In fact, that was deception. To believe that it was Ogun Idile that is doing you is deception. There used to be a man that used to come to church here who said 95% of your problem is a offer. And he was correct. Because once the enemy can get you to believe wrongly, you will act wrongly. It's a self-destructive mechanism. It has never failed in. That technology has always worked. And so we have to build defenses against that. And when he said signs and wonders, my brother sent something to our WhatsApp group today. I just came across it. I opened it. Normally I don't watch videos because I don't have data to be watching every video. And I opened it and I saw it of a pastor, I don't know, in Ghana. He brought a drum and was going there, submerge, come out, clean his face, go down again. I think this is about some time. Then he was now scooping water and asking their members to start drinking. And people were drinking. We've seen people in South Africa who were eating grass because their pastor said they need to eat grass to get a breakthrough. We all know that those were lies. But a time will come when men will be raised by Lucifer, and you will have no doubt. Their miracles will be genuine and raw. You don't understand. When TB Joshua came, many men of God followed him. They said there was a prophet that was in South Africa. Kubo or something like that. Pastor, you should know him. Kubo. This guy was a serious prophet. Submitted his ministry to Joshua. I don't know what he would tell Jesus now when he got to heaven. No power of discernment. Many well-known ministers in America were submitting to Joshua. And I was like, we that are here know that this guy is fake. I was with Pastor. Praise God. Where you don't have spirit to even discern. Now, I said that greater than Joshua is coming. Joshua, when those boys arise, they will call Joshua a boy. But Joshua will go and prostrate and say, sir, I mean, what can you say? Am I being user? Like, I couldn't have submitted to him. Greater than them are coming. That you will not, people last week, there was one they were saying. They said, somebody was telling somebody. He said, bro, said, this thing you are saying about God is true, but there is no proof. You know what the proof is? The Jeep. There's no proof. Amen. And so we have a system right now in the church, and that's why we're considering this convention theme, the power of the kingdom. There's a craving in the heart of many of God's children. They want power, but they are pursuing it in the wrong way. Some have been talking about levitating, walking through walls. To what end does that serve? Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So, we are going to come across those operations that you will not be able to say, you will see leg, you will see they will raise the dead. Now, what will you tell somebody that this man is not a man of God? How will you prove it? Do you understand me? Then look at the multi-level approach of warfare. He spoke about fair speeches. Who knows those fair speeches? Hey, your attitude is your altitude. Rev. Your dressing is your dagger. And I have a friend that if he speaks for 1 hour, rhymes, he will be speaking rhymes. Praise God. Pastor Bailey went to preach in his church. He said, okay, Pastor Bailey on the ramp. He said, he should drop. put your dad, you follow me here. Amen. So they're like that. There are many. Then, that is fair speech. What about enticing words? Have you heard some people speak English? That were Macmon English. Lord, where went for the spirit of God from? Those guys have power of language. They understand language. It's not like that man from Benin, that Ogon, what was that man's name in Benin? That man that used to speak Latin and everything together. That is not what we are talking about. I think the person that I've listened to the Haspa of oratory in this country is Okuti. Have you listened to Okuti? You can't listen to Okuti and your head will not, Oluwa, you made this man too. Or Bola again, that's political, and he didn't come to church. It was called Cicero. Cicero. They are coming, though. Then this one, you know this other one, vain words. They say a lot of things. At the end of the day, you don't ask, is your kid summary? no substance inside it, but vain. There was, I want to cross boundaries. There was a young pastor in this town. He came to me one day and he was saying, "Ah, this person is a man or woman of God." Say woman of God. So I was elogizing the person. When he finished, I said, "Can you remember one message that she preached that you remember?" "Ah," I said, "Pastor Okpo." I said, "I'm not asking for many. I'm asking for one." "Ah, Pastor, you have called me again." I said, "I'm only asking for one message." "I can't remember right now." "Say, because it was not anointed. You just had vain words. If you don't have a millionaire, you are..." I didn't talk. "You're a failure. You're a failure. You have not built that. You're a failure." Really? Is that how we now measure righteousness? So these are the things that are going on that are, and people just get up and say, "Ah, God, my life has finished. Ah, Lord, my life has..." You now get to say, "Pastor Ogi, if you don't do something, what did that life judge?" And those things destroy people's lives and they don't know it. And lost. Loving the things that God said no to. It has killed, it has destroyed empires. And it's still destroying empires. I trust God will help us in Jesus' name. We need to really realize on time what we are up against. And begin to put structures in place. When it finishes, I think I will now come up. I've always said it that this is a major, major issue in the end times. Major, 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 major. That the church cannot afford to be ignorant about. I want us to bow our heads to pray. Jesus said to Peter, "He said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." I want you to pray that as we go through these seasons that is coming upon the earth, this hour of temptation, the hour of deception, that you will not be a victim. It will take the Spirit of God, the Spirit of mercy, to keep you and I and preserve us. Because Satan will unleash everything in his arsenal. Satan will fight us with everything he has. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen watch but in vain. That is the word of God. If God does not watch over us, we have no hope. We definitely have no hope of surviving. That's why we need to ask God, "Help me. Lord, help me. You know how weak I am. You know how unstable I am. You know how susceptible I am. I'm asking to keep me." Jesus Christ said, "I prayed for you, Peter, that God will keep you. That your faith will not fail. Lord, don't let my faith in you, don't let my confidence in you shift. Lord, help me. Keep me in this hour." Satan told Eve that there is something you are missing. There is something that you need to have that you have not been given. He created a need in our hearts. He said, "You don't have it." He was the one who created circumstances to make her feel she was missing out. "Lord, I don't want to fall. I don't want to be prey. God, keep my heart." The Bible says, "Guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of that heart proceed the forces that determine your future." Father, help me, Lord. Keep me in this hour of trouble. Keep me in this hour of temptation, that my faith in you will not fail. That I will not be taken away from the secured position. From that secured position that you have given to me. I thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Can we take our offerings tonight? And let's bless you. Pastor Ogie, thank you for tonight. Can we appreciate him? We appreciate you.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.